This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, August 6, 2010. I'm Caleb Brown. A ban on gay marriage is struck down in California, but what is the constitutional basis? Many conservatives say it's no less than judicial activism, but it's not precisely clear what aspect of the Constitution is being rewritten. Ilya Shapiro, Senior Fellow in Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute, offers his thoughts.
On a technical legal basis, he found that Prop 8 violated the due process and equal protection clauses of the 14th Amendment. That is, marriage is a fundamental right, he found, and there is no legitimate interest that the state has in differentiating between same-sex and opposite-sex marriages with respect to that fundamental right. And that kind of bleeds into the equal protection point, which is exactly that if you have this law, it has to have equal applicability to everybody. So they're really intertwined. And indeed, the way that the judge set up the standards of review and his elaborate presentation and evaluation of Supreme Court precedent shows that basically he didn't buy any of the arguments made by the proponents of Prop 8 for why California or any state, I guess, can prevent gay marriage.
This has been described by some conservatives as egregious judicial activism.
Well, we at Cato and libertarians more broadly, nobody's a fan of activism, but we do want an active judiciary. If the government violates our rights, the judges, courts are supposed to be there to strike down those actions. The claims about activism is that this is inventing a new right somehow, or treading on centuries and millennia of human tradition and just, imposing your own policy views. And I don't think that's quite right. I mean, that might be right for something like Roe versus Wade or some other decisions, where principled libertarians, absolutely agree with conservatives, not in that it's activist necessarily, because that term doesn't really mean that much, but that it's a wrong reading of the law and indeed imposing policy views. But here, this is much more like Loving versus Virginia, which is the case that struck down bans on interracial marriage. So the court methodically went through 80 findings of fact. I mean, it's just a unique presentation and citation to the record that he's clearly setting himself up for appellate review, all leading to the suggestion that none of the proponents' purported interests for maintaining a ban on gay marriage are legitimate and can survive scrutiny against the 14th Amendment. I haven't fully digested the 136-page opinion. There are many layers there. It's a sweeping opinion, I think, more than most people were expecting, whether they were pro or anti-gay marriage. But here I think I've identified on pages 113, 114, the crux of what's going on here. Here's the excerpt. The right to marry has been historically and remains the right to choose a spouse, and with mutual consent, join together and form a household. Race and gender restrictions shaped marriage during eras of race and gender inequality, but such restrictions were never part of the historical core of the institution of marriage. Today, gender is not relevant to the state in determining spouses' obligations to each other and to their dependents. Relative gender composition aside, same-sex couples are situated identically to opposite-sex couples in terms of their ability to perform the rights and obligations of marriage under California law. Gender no longer forms an essential part of marriage. Marriage under law is a union of equals. And so essentially the proponents of Prop 8, all of their arguments about tradition, the judge said, well, tradition alone is never enough, it helps the raising of children to deny same-sex marriage. Well, the judge says, same-sex couples are raising children and actually helps them to be in a married state, and it doesn't affect the raising of other children. And generally, there is no interest, the existence of gay marriage doesn't somehow make other marriage bounds less weak or anything like that. There's no logical, legitimate, in the technical terms, reason anymore in this modern age, just like, race 40 years ago was decided not to be a key component of marriage. And so I think going forward, this will ultimately get to the Supreme Court, which will have to decide both on the equal protection, which I think is a slightly stronger ground, and on due process, what marriage means.
The only reason this is in the courts is because states issue licenses to marry. Do conservatives have anything to say about that aspect?
I haven't seen much, ironically, because this is something I think on which libertarians, again, could partner with conservatives. The best solution, the first order principle that would be ideal here would be for, as you implied, the state, the government, to get out of the marriage business altogether. And so couples of whatever sexual orientation, persuasion, gender, could sign a bunch of contracts or one standard contract with a bundle of rights about inheritance and taxation and hospital visitation and all the rest of it, and leave whatever other sacraments or other things to religious and other private institutions. That would be ideal. But I haven't yet seen any conservative group saying, okay, we've lost this. I think what's best for us to do now is just to call for government to get out of the marriage business. But if and when they do, I will support them on that.
Ilya Shapiro is a senior fellow in constitutional studies at the Cato Institute. You can order your copy of the Cato Supreme Court Review at cato.org.